we're going to look at this tonight, the walking Christian. Certainly, much of our Christian life, all through the scriptures, when we're talking about the life of a Christian, it is continually referred to as a walk, as the Christian walk. There's many things that the scripture has to say about our walk, and we oftentimes even talk about, as far as tonight, Brother John and Matt talking about their time with God. We talk about that as being our walk with God. How's your walk with God? How are you doing on your Christian walk? The idea of walking, the word actually walk, appears 212 times in the Bible. Many of those have little to do with the actual Christian life. They might be referring to somebody traveling, but as you think about and the idea of walking, there's a couple of things. One is walking implies movement. There's movement. You know, a Christian life is not supposed to be dead. Amen? There's supposed to be life there. There's supposed to be movement. We're supposed to be going somewhere. As we think about the idea of walk, it also implies direction. That you're heading somewhere. That there's a direction in which you're going. There's active movement, and there is a direction in which you're going. Praise the Lord that we have a new walk in Jesus Christ. We have a direction to head. It also implies fellowship. Can two walk together, except they be agreed? Because they're going to be in fellowship. And certainly as we talk about the Christian's walk and our walk with God, we're fellowshipping with God. I want to just take a few minutes and look at several things with regards to our walk, and I'm going to have to move quick. I won't be able to elaborate on these things as we begin to talk about them. I was thinking as I was listing these out, I'm like, man, each one of these points could be a message in them of themselves. I could do a series on the Christian walk, and all of each one of these points could be an entire message in themselves, and there's a lot of them. So it's actually only 3 points, but all the subpoints is what I'm talking about. So first of all, this evening, as we look up, think about our walk, first of all, I want us to remember or recall our past walk. Our past walk. Praise God. In John chapter 8, verse number 12, we see, he says here, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Praise God that our new walk is not one in darkness. We no longer have to live or walk in darkness. We don't have to wonder about what we're doing. We don't have to wonder about the purpose or the meaning of life. We don't have to wonder what it is that we're trying to accomplish. We don't have to think, is there any meaning in this? But God has given us a new walk in Jesus Christ. We don't have to walk because we get to walk in newness of life. The life that we have in Jesus Christ. Romans 6, verse number 4, it says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that is like as Christ was raised up from the dead for the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life." We have a new walk in Jesus Christ. Our past walk, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Amen. Amen. The places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. There ought to be some things in our life that have changed since we got a new walk. Amen. Now, one of the hard things for boys and girls like many of these here that grow up in a Christian home, and they grow up in church, you know, 3-4 times a week, and they're here faithfully. When they bow their head and they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they get up, there's nothing different in their life. They're still going to church 3-4 times a week. They're still trying to obey Mom. They're still trying. But you understand, it still took the blood of Jesus to forgive you of your sin and to change your life just like it did the other person. Just like it did somebody who might come and with a testimony and say, "Boy, I used to do this and I quit that. And I used to do this and I quit that. And boy, God changed all these things in my life." Understand that God has made you a new creature as well. God made you a new creature, even if from your standpoint and your practice in life, praise God, you didn't go out into the world and you haven't lived that kind of lifestyle. You still have a new walk in Jesus Christ. And you can thank God you did not have to bear the marks of sin in your body. Amen. That you don't have to know that. You can have a new life without living with those scars. But as we talk about the Christian, I want you to think and contemplate with me your present walk. As Christians, we have a walk that God expects us to have. It's supposed to be a Christian walk. I'm going to just give you a ton of references here as we look at this. But Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6 says, "And ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." As a Christian, we are Christ-like. We have a Christian walk. There's an expectation that we are to be like Christ. Furthermore, in 1 Thessalonians 4:1, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God." To walk and please God. You want to walk and please God. We're supposed to. There's a Christian walk. There's an expectation that you're going to walk like a Christian. We want people to know that we're a Christian. There's an expectation that we're going to walk that way. And so many of these things that we're going to look at today have to do with the idea of being able to be marked, noticed, seen, recognized as a Christian, because hopefully you're walking like a Christian. You're walking like a Christian. It's a commanded walk. In 2 John verse 1, verse number 6, he says, "And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it." Walk in it. It's a commanded walk. As Christians, now that we're saved, God has given us a way to walk. He's given us a way to walk in, and we're commanded to do it. It's a certain walk. It's a certain walk. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." I hope you've been able to develop your Christian faith, your faith in God, to know and that you can trust Him, that you can step out with certainty, that you can follow His leading in your life and don't have to wonder. We certainly should question our judgment. We certainly should question the decisions that we're making. But when we know we're being directed and led by God, we ought to have certainty. We ought to have surety in our faith that God is leading and God is in control and God can and will do it. It's a certain walk. When we do it God's way works every time. You know, it even works for people that aren't doing right. It even works for people that aren't saved. It even works for people, you know, sometimes there's families that aren't Christians, they aren't saved, they don't know their Lord as a Savior, but the husband and wife have a good relationship. Because they're exercising biblical principles. And it's funny to me as I listen to different like marriage counseling programs and stuff like that, that these people aren't even Christians. And they are giving biblical principle, whether they know it or not. They might not even realize they're giving biblical principle. We follow God's plan, it works. When we follow our own plan, it doesn't. We've got a certain walk with God. It's also ought to be, it should be, a captivated walk. We talked about this in Sunday school. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's a captivated walk. We ought to be the captivated. Galatians 5:25, why do I do that? My mind gets going faster than my tongue. In Galatians 5:25, he says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." My, as we've been talking these last few weeks about the three, the body and the soul and the spirit, and how we've been given new life in Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit comes and lives in our heart, he's saying, if you live in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God is what's given you new life, you have that inside of you, then why aren't you walking in the Spirit? It should be a captivated life. We ought to be led by the Spirit of God. And this is what has to do with the fruit of the Spirit coming out of our life and growing as a byproduct of us yielding to the Spirit and walking in the Spirit day by day. Christian, we should not be walking in the flesh. We should be walking in the Spirit, letting the Spirit lead us in our life. It's a consistent walk. It's a consistent walk. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye called. Now that verse right there is what started this 3x5 card. I saw that verse as a college student, and I thought I had seen a revelation from God. Nobody else had ever seen that verse and how powerful that was. And the idea that we are to walk worthy and think about God Almighty, the creator of the universe, omniscient, omnipresent, and all-powerful God who from his love and mercy and grace reached out into this world and saved our soul. He's done this for us. My, we ought to walk worthy of him. We ought to. That means being consistent in our Christian life. He gives more in Colossians 1, verse number 10, says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. Walk worthy. Walk worthy. This literally means that ye walk like a Christian should walk. That you look like a Christian should look. That you act like a Christian should act. Now, I don't have time tonight to take this one thought, walk worthy, and really preach it. There's many messages on this idea, and I forwarded one to the staff by Kenny Baldwin. I enjoy listening to Kenny Baldwin. He's a powerful preacher, and he preaches straight, and I forward it to the staff. So if you are interested in hearing it, you can ask them, and they'll forward it to you. Via text, they'll forward it to you. So any of the staff, they all have it, and I'm going to go on. But we are to walk worthy, and we ought to be motivated as believers to walk worthy of the God who saved our soul. To live like and act like and day by day. This is not a Sunday morning thing. This is a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. This is a way we walk in our life. You understand that the Christian life is a marathon? It's a long haul. It's not a sprint. You don't just run it quick as you can. That's why it's talked consistently about a walk. You just got to keep going in the right direction and keep going in the right direction and keep going in the right direction. It's so applicable to our theme. God is not as concerned with where you're at as where you're headed. Are you walking in the right way? If you're not, turn around. If you are, let us encourage you. Let us help you. Keep walking towards God. Keep doing right. Keep taking those steps. Keep looking to the Lord. We stumble, get back up. We fall, get back up. We step back, get back up. Go forward, walk worthy. We have a high calling, a holy calling, and a heavenly calling, according to the Apostle Paul, that we ought to walk worthy of. It's also a compassionate walk. Ephesians 5, verse number 2 says, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. It's a compassionate walk. We ought to have compassion on one another. We ought to have compassion on the lost. We ought to have a heart of compassion for others. It's a conscientious walk. Romans 13:13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and in drunkenness and in chambering and in wantonness, not in strife and in envying. 1 Thessalonians 4:12, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without. It's being honest in our day-to-day, walking as a Christian. As a Christian should. That means we're honest in our dealings. You know, this is an area I think that the devil really likes to trip us up. He really likes to get us with the small things. And little things lead to bigger things. But it's small discrepancy on the taxes. It's the small thing of you checked out of the store and you bought four and they only charged you for two, but you're already out in the car. And boy, look how God blessed me today. They only charged me for two of these. Well, look, think about it like this. What if you would have only bought two, but they charged you for four? Oh, look how God blessed the store today. Amen. No, you would be going back in there and say, you overcharged me. Well, then the same applies to you and I when we see that we were, I'll tell you what, one time I went through McDonald's in Shrewsbury and I bought a meal and some strawberry cream pies. I'll tell you what, if you don't like anything else from McDonald's, I hope you like those strawberry cream. Those things are so good. They're just, oh, especially when they're hot and fresh. Now, if they've been in the rack forever, forget it. But when they're fresh, they're good. And I looked in my bag and they weren't in there, and I was so frustrated. I got out of the car and walked all the way into the store, and I says, I ordered strawberry cream pies, and you guys didn't give them. They're like, oh, we're sorry, sir, and they gave them to me. And I'm like, you really ought to give me extra because, I mean, I had to walk all the way. I didn't tell them that, but I thought that. So I get in my car, and I'm on my way home. I eat my sandwiches, and I start eating my strawberry cream pies, and I find two other strawberry cream pies in my bag. And I'm like, oh, man. Now I got to drive all the way back to Shrewsbury to give them people $1.29, you know, because, hey, are we going to be honest or not? And it's a matter of principle as a Christian that we walk honestly. We need to make a habit of it. And the devil will tell you it's not that big a deal. Don't worry about it. They're making a killing anyway. And, I mean, all kinds of rationale goes through our mind. But how are we going to walk? Are we going to be honest in these things? It needs to be a matter of principle for us. It's a commendable walk. Ephesians 2:10, he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Doing the good things that God wants us to do. The good works, they're good. It's also a clear walk. Ephesians 5, verse number 8. He says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." 1 John 1:7. That light, it's a clear walk. You know, we're expected to walk in the light that we have. As Christians, as we talk about walking and having a clear conscience before God, you're expected to walk in the light that you have. And, you know, a child that doesn't know. A lot of times he doesn't even know what he doesn't know. But as he learns, he's expected to walk in the light that he has. A child, a little child, might stick his hand up on the stove and want to touch that hot burner. And a parent says, "No, that's hot." And he may, at some point, actually touch that. But pretty soon, he learns, that's hot. And then, doesn't matter how little they are, they've learned that, and they'll come by and they'll go, "Hot, hot." And they've learned, and they're not going to stick their hand up there anymore. They're walking in the light that they have. And as believers, we're supposed to walk in the light that we have, the light that God has given us, we're supposed to be walking in. As he's taught us, there are some people young in the faith, young in the Lord, they don't have all the light that maybe you have. Don't expect them to walk in the light that you have. You walk in the light that you have and let them walk in the light that they have. Sometimes there's people that have gone for years to maybe a much weaker church, a cheap church that's not giving the whole counsel of the Word of God, and there's a lot of things that they haven't learned. They don't have that light yet. They're very sincere and they love God and they want to do what's right. They want to please the Lord. It's not that they're backslidden. They haven't been given that light yet. And we can't be expecting them to walk in light that they don't have. We need to walk in the light that we have. The world needs us to walk in that light. They need a clear light. They need a light that they can see shining in this dark world. The Bible says we're supposed to have a circumspect walk as well. See then that you walk circumspectly, Ephesians 5:15. Not as fools, but as wise. That's a diligent walk, a careful walk, circumspectly, with thought, with intent. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. It's supposed to be a committed walk as well. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Thy word is truth. Committed to the Lord. As Christians, our present walk. This is just a listing of the things that, as far as the Bible goes, describes our walk as a Christian. How you doing? How you doing in your walk? How do you measure up in these different areas? Lastly, let me give you the prohibited walk. As Christians, we have a walk that's prohibited. We, as Christians, we're not supposed to be conceited. We're not supposed to have a conceited walk. In Ephesians 4, verse number 17, he says, "This I say then, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." Don't walk as the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. That is, that they think that everything that they do is right. They're puffed up in the knowledge that they have, and what they're doing is correct. And we know how we get, you know, anybody that's more conservative than me, they're a fanatic, and anybody that's more liberal than me, they're just liberal. So in my mind, I don't know. Whatever, they're gone. I mean, you know, we're the standard, right? And we like to set ourselves up as a standard. We're not to have a conceited walk. We're not supposed to be full of ourselves. We're not to walk as the Gentiles who felt like everything that they were doing was correct in the vanity of their own mind. They felt everything that they were doing was acceptable. Even though they were serving false gods, they were following the pattern of pagans. How did the Gentiles walk? Well, this Ephesians 4:17 is what I just read you. In Ephesians 4:18 and 19, he says this, "Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness." Here's a group that in their mind felt they were doing really good. But by God's description, they weren't. We got to be careful about setting ourselves up, having a conceited walk. We're not going to spend any time here because I dealt with this very thoroughly this morning, but we're not to have a carnal walk either. You're not to walk carnally as other men walk. 1 Colossians 3:3. Let me give you the last one, is corrupted. We're not to have a corrupted walk. 2 Thessalonians 3:11. "For we hear that there are some who walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but our busybodies." Disorderly. So we're not to have a corrupted walk, a disorderly walk. Not participating in the work at all, not jumping in or getting involved, but busybodies, the scripture says. Involved in evaluating it, involved in critiquing it, involved in commenting on it, but not involved at all in making it happen. And usually that's the people that are critiquing it. Because you're a lot less forgiving when you're the one that invested the effort to make it happen, right? I mean, look at these flags. I mean, boy, they certainly could be better. We can't get any more missionaries because we don't have any more spots to put them. So maybe we can do more from the same fields. You know, just evaluating it. But if you invested all the time and energy in getting them up, you'd say, man, them flags look good, don't they? We're not supposed to. Yeah, Pastor Derek. Amen. So we don't want to have a corrupted walk. So how's your walk? We can praise God tonight that our past walk is past. Our walk is past. Praise God for that. We don't have that. Then how's your present walk doing? According to the Word of God, just a list of things there with your walk. How are you measuring up? And hopefully you're not participating in the prohibited walk that we see in the Scriptures, admonitions to refrain from, as we see from Christ tonight. Stand with me, if you would, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Lord, we come to you this evening. We're thankful, God, for your word. Lord, I'm thankful for the Christian life that we get to live. That, God, you've given us a new life and you've given us a new walk. Lord, it is a battle with the world and the flesh and the devil to continue faithfully on the walk that you have for us. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us a purpose in our heart, the joy of the Lord in our spirit, to be consistent, to be faithful and walking for you, the Christian walk that you expect of all of us. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.